Thank you, guys. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of St. John in chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. We're living in a day when gambling is quite popular. As a matter of fact, you can watch ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, ESPN Ackworth, and almost any time you want to, you can see a group of men and ladies playing poker. That's a bad gamble. Your chances of winning a large sum of money are slim. Matter of fact, you have a better chance of getting hit by lightning 121 times than you do winning big money. So if you can sustain it for 121 times, allowing yourself to be hit by lightning, you may win. I wouldn't bet on it. There is something that is worth taking a risk for. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some foot washers. I need a guy between the age of 13 and 17. Can I have a volunteer? A guy between the age of 13 and 17. Okay, man, hand raised, man, come on. And then I need a single guy somewhere between the ages of 18 to 107. A single guy somewhere in that college. Who's coming? Who's my man? Shake? Okay, come on. He's a volunteering rascal. And then I need a young married guy. A young married guy. A guy who's young and married. Who would be a foot washer. Who's coming? Oh, Matt, come on. And then I need a guy who's probably in 30s or 40s. Guy who's 30s or 40s. Give me a guy who's a foot washer guy. And then I need a real man, somebody in his 50s. I don't know about you. Can you hear me, guys, in your 50s? I'll try to talk louder. You know, the older I get, people are low talkers now. Have you noticed that? Like, I can't understand what you're saying, man. They talk like way down there. You guys have to speak up. Where's my 50-year-old man? All right, come on down, Rick and D. And guys, just go ahead because we need to get started. We've only got 20 minutes to do all this. We're going to do it real fast. Sit down right here on the altar. Stay there. Take your shoes off. Keep your socks on in Jesus' name. All right, we'll wait for Rick. Here he comes. Here I come to save the day. That means that Ricky D is on the way. John chapter 13. What in the world is Jesus doing with a towel and a basin? It was a custom in Jesus' day to, if you provided a dinner, to have somebody there, a foot washing guy. The lowest of the low, servant's apprentice, servant junior. Because the people were coming in from very dusty streets. And they would not sit at a table like this one. They would recline at a short table. You have seen the pictures of the Last Supper, you know, where Jesus calls all the boys around, puts his arm around them, said, "This is it, buddies. This is our last time together. And let's all smile." That ain't the way it is. They would have a low table and you would recline on your side and you would eat. Now, nobody wants to eat with stinky feet in their face. Can I get an amen? Some of you won't eat now for another week. And there would have to be someone there to wash their feet. Foot washing is an Old Testament concept as well as a New Testament concept. Abigail washed David's feet and the feet of his servants. John the Baptist said, there's one coming and I'm not worthy to unlatch his sandals with a view of washing his feet and mine. Now, normally, the host would not wash feet. I don't know what the worst thing that you can think of doing would be. But that was foot washing. I can't imagine having to clean public toilets. But that's what foot washing was. It was that demeaning. Now, what makes it all the more interesting is that he's got 12 men who don't have a clue about servanthood. As a matter of fact, hold your place there in the Gospel of John and look with me to the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 22. And there was a major, major discussion going on, not about who's going to be the towel bearer, but who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Luke chapter 22, and look at what he says in verse 24. And there arose also a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded to be the greatest. Unbelievable. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But now watch, Christians. Watch, believers. But not so with you. But let him who is the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. Go back to John chapter 13. So these disciples perhaps have entered into the room where they're going to have the Lord's table, the Last Supper. And rather than somebody saying, hey, there's no one here to wash feet, I'll do it, they all say, not me, pal. You know who I am? I'm one of Jesus' main men, and I'm going to sit on one of the thrones with God. I'm not about to stoop to wash anybody's feet. Some believe that it was actually Judas who was reclined next to Jesus. It may have been. We don't know. But while they are arguing, notice what happens in John chapter 13. Verse 3 said, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, watch this, guys, watch this, rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Imagine that. Imagine now, they are arguing, I'm the greatest, no, I'm the greatest, no, I'm the greatest. James and John, the sons of thunder, remember on one occasion, even had their mom come to Jesus and say, hey, when you come in your kingdom, let my boys set one on your left hand and one on your right. It's quite humorous because these sons of thunder had to send mama to do their work. And while they're arguing, Jesus stands up and he takes off his robe and he takes the towel and the basin, and he begins to wash the feet of men who thought what he was doing was beneath them. And he comes to Simon Peter. You know who Simon Peter is, don't you? He's not the original Pope, by the way. He's the original First Baptist. He had a foot and mouth disease. You're not washing me. Jesus said to him, Simon, if I don't wash you, I have no part in you. And then typical Simon Peter, wash me all over, Lord. I mean, from the top of my head to the sole of my feet, wash me all over. And Jesus said, Simon, you don't need to be washed all over. You've been washed one time. Now all you need are your hands or your feet. And that came from the allusion of the Old Testament where the priest would be ceremonially cleansed. But then when he came back to the laver, he only did that for the hands and for the feet. You've been washed all over. And Simon again gets another lesson in humility. And then Jesus applies in verses 12 through 17 what he's told them. Look at those verses with me. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, now watch this, do you know what I've done to you? That's an incredible question. Pause for reflection. Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Jesus, knowing all things, what did he know? He knew within 24 hours he'd be dead. But he also knew that God was in control, and there were lessons to be taught. A lesser man could have never done what Jesus did. Now let me reach four conclusions for you. First thought is this: Jesus unapologetically calls every one of his followers to servanthood like foot washing. Without apology, Jesus calls every man, woman, boy, and girl in this building today who names his name to wash the feet of others. Four things. Number one, it's practical. It wasn't busy work. It wasn't work just for work's sake. It had benefits. Around Baptist churches, we're very, very used to a lot of busyness. Somebody said, Mary had a little lamb. It grew to be a sheep. It joined a Southern Baptist church and died for lack of sleep. We are very aware of busy work. This is not busy work. This is not a work for God. This is a work of God. What did he do? In a very practical way, he walked over and he cleaned their feet. Why? Because they were dirty and it was rude to sit at a table with your feet dirty. Last night, my wife and I decided that we would take my mom out to get something to eat. Now, you can't even imagine. She turned on the first of this month. She turned 88. You can't even imagine trying to get her to understand anything you say. So I go down and I say, Cheryl, get ready. It'll take us 30 minutes. It'll take her 30 minutes for me to understand we're going to eat. And so I go down and I say, Mama, how you doing? Doing good. Had a good day? Yep. Pretty good day today. We're going out to eat. And if you've ever seen Christmas Vacation where the old guy's trying to explain to his wife, that's kind of the way I am. Mama, we're going out to eat. Read my lips. I said, do you understand me? She said, yes, she's doing good. I talked to her just the other day. I get Mama up. She's got a walker. And buddy, when she gets the walker, move. Don't even try to get in her way. And we're going to Longhorns. It's about 5 o'clock. And you know, that's the time old people eat. So we're going and it is absolutely slam packed. I get my mom out of the car. We walk into the restaurant, and there are people sitting everywhere. One thing I noticed, men didn't hold the door, women held the door. And when families were coming in, it was the woman who walked over to the hostess and said, here's the name and here's how many people we've got. And the man would stand there back like a little boy, just kind of oop-a-doop-a-doop-doop. People are sitting all around. My mom comes in with her walker. She's 88 years old. Men are sitting there. They don't get up. Finally, a lady gets up and lets my mom sit down. Now, guys, I want you to listen to your old fat preacher. We can do better than that. And all God's people said, practical, simple, little things. Jesus cleaned their feet. There was nothing brain-shattering about that. It wasn't rocket science. He was doing what needed to be done. Taking a young lady 15 into your home when you don't have children and have gone through the terrible pain of having lost a child. Living beyond yourself. Bearing the towel. Secondly, it's purposeful. It's a lesson in humility. It needed to be done. Who would have ever thought it would have been Jesus who did it? We're living in a secular world that's closed out God because they believe we live in a closed-in society. God has been shut out. And we're living in a culture, listen, see if you agree with this, that's extremely rude and self-centered. 2020 just did a thing on rudeness. Every time I think about I might be rude to somebody, my dad perches up on my shoulder and he busts me up. My dad would never allow me to say yeah or no to an adult. Now, my dad did not believe in child abuse, but he did practice it many, many times in my life. There is no reason to be rude and selfish. We live in a world where leadership says, I'm the leader. You live under me. A lot of pastors, preachers like that. You live under me. I'm the man. I'm the leader. You do as I say do, not as I do. The kingdom of God is different. Jesus said, do as I do. I am your servant. And if you want to be great, take up the towel. Take the bet. Take the risk. Do the gamble. Thirdly, it was powerful. Jesus is employing what we call here the greater to the lesser logic. In other words, he's sovereign Lord, knowing that he came from God's going back to God. He's the supreme leader, and he could have established his rights. But here's what Jesus taught. Jesus taught service begins not from the top down. It's not a top down serve me first, but from the bottom up. You get down. You know what the man who was called who washed the feet during the dinner time are those servants. You know what they were called? They were called deacons. And it literally means to rise up out of the dust. They were the people who did the menial task. And it is a powerful, powerful picture of how Christians are to live. We can beat the doors down, but if we don't have anything to offer people, they're going to slam the door in our face. But when we get our towels and we serve this community and become the church next door, people will come knocking down our door to see the great change that has been made. And there's only one can do that, and his name is Jesus. And all God's people said, and then it's productive. Look at verse 17. If you know these things, you are blessed. Now watch this. If you do them, he doesn't stop by saying, if you know these things. In other words, if you just give intellectual assent to these things, you're not blessed so much by what you know, but you're blessed by what you show. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. He washed feet. Now, let me give you the antithesis of that, the opposite of that, the self-gratification. Let me show you that in a man's name, Solomon. Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, clean part of your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. The Psalms go right, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes is a letter written by a man who can't find any peace, who can't find any reason for living below the sun. And Solomon had everything you can imagine. As a matter of fact, when the Queen of Sheba came back from her visit, they said, how was it? And here's what she said. The half has not been told. He had it all. And there's nothing wrong with having every one of you in this auditorium, because you live in the United States of America, are relatively rich when it comes to the rest of the world. Amen? Amen. It's not that he had. It's that what he had couldn't make him happy. And what I want you to think about is, for the next 5, 10, or 15, or 20 years, depending upon your age, do you want to amass everything you can amass, or do you want to be a towel bearer like Christ? Let's just look at these verses. If you got it, say, I've got it. You don't just fake it. Now look. I said to myself, come now. I will test you with pleasure, so enjoy yourself. And behold, it was futility. We're living in a world that loves to amuse itself. Amuse. Don't think. And he said, I did that, and it was vain. I said, of laughter, it's madness, and of pleasure, What does it accomplish? Look down to verse 4. I enlarge my works. I built not one house. I had houses everywhere. I was in the home of a very wealthy man many years ago when I was a young preacher preaching revival in the church he attended. And as we were eating, he said, "Pastor," and he had a massive, massive estate. He said, "Pastor, this is my summer home." And I said to him in my brazenness, "You know, I have a summer home. It also doubles as my winter home." Solomon had all kind of houses. He even planted vineyards for himself. Look at verse 5. I made gardens and parks. Let me ask you something. What is life without a botanical garden all around you? How could you live without it? And I planted them all kinds of fruit trees, and I made ponds of water for myself for which to irrigate a forest. Man, he had the trees, he had the forest, he had it all. Look at verse 7. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeboys, or rather homeborn slaves. That's a little funny I just threw in there. Also, I possessed of flocks and herds larger than all those who precede me in Jerusalem. Verse 8, I collected for myself silver and gold and treasure of kings and provinces. Look at what he said. I provided for myself male and female singers. He said, I didn't just go out and buy the CD. I bought the group. It dawned on me this week who that was. It's the Rolling Stones. Mick, they're going to be in Detroit tonight, be in Atlanta Wednesday. They were at Solomon's house 2,000 years ago. And you know what they were singing? I can't get no. I know that because Solomon couldn't. I'm pretty proud of myself for that one, so I need a little more. And he just goes on. He's got it all. It's all about me. Hey, preacher, man, what you going to feed me today? What's my church going to offer me today? What are they going to do for my kids? Can I just consume? Can I just eat and eat and eat and eat and just really just get all jacked up about me? How about no? And he comes down to the end of it in verse 11. He says, thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted. And behold, all that was vanity. It's like running for the wind. So what are you going to do with your life? Are you going to bear the towel? Let me give you some conclusions, some applications. We'll close. Number one, make a commitment to start washing the feet of others. Make a commitment to start washing the feet of others. Our world is about to get into change again. Future's inevitable. That's not a brilliant statement. But the boomers are retiring. And guess what? Those of us in the boomer generation, next generation guys, you're going to have to pay for it. The president spoke the other night, and you know what he said? Gas is going through the roof. Now, he didn't say that, but here's what he did say. You need to start finding alternatives, alternative ways of getting around. In other words, buy a bike. The builders who had the boomers are the ones who still give. You don't believe that? What's the first Sunday's giving every month in any church? And you know where it comes from? The builders, the greatest generation. And if they can't get here, they'll mail it in. And now I read that Generation Xers, our kids in the pew today, that we've created an insatiable monster that says, what are you going to do for me? Feed me. Give me. I want to say to the young people in this building today, make a choice to bear the towel and not be a Solomon who thinks of only himself. Second application, you don't have to look for this kind of ministry. It will find you. You see it and seize it. You say, well, how will I know it? You will know it if you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I'll give you one very good way to do that. How many of you are in rush hour traffic every day? How many of you always have somebody who needs to get over in front of you? Okay, here's a radical concept. Let them. And there they are. It's saying, it's me, let me over. Third concept, third application. We must take our eyes off ourselves and put on the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. The world's not put off by Christ, they're put off by Christians. The world can never be put off by Christ. Jesus loved people. It was the religious people Jesus always had a problem with. It was the Pharisees, the scribes, the publicans and sinners flocked to Jesus. The mind of Christ says, it's all about you. I gave my life for you as I obeyed the Father. Number four, focus your attention on the undone things which you've come to expect someone else to do. Not my job, preacher. I'm not going to wave traffic in and out. While I'm saying that, the people who are waving traffic in and out, hey, please don't try to kill them. It is not a game. People who are wearing those orange vests, that does not say, hit me. I'm not going to wave people in. I'm not going to greet people. I'm not going to stay in the nursery. I'm not. And you're the same ones who says, meh, my needs aren't met. I didn't like what the preacher preached. I didn't like the band played. Shut up and grow up and be a part of the family of God. And now to conclude with a word of prayer. Bill Hybels has in his church what they call Mr. B's Coffee. The lounge where they just kind of like our cafe. They call their Mr. B's. And Hybels was at a turning point in his life. He was born to an affluent family. And he literally could have made a lot of money. But he, in his words, he said, I chose to bear the towel. And the reason was that he had a prof. And he said the prof, every time he would say this, would just run all over him and eat him up. And he would say, students, you've got to choose. And I'm challenging you to take up the servant's towel. Now, there have been two or three different sermons today. The drama was phenomenal. The music was great. But man, when I brought this up here, and when I started calling for guys to wash feet, you know what some of you said? I ain't washing nobody's feet. I didn't go to church to wash feet. I went to church being tame. I went to church here, Word of God. I ain't washing nobody's feet. I ain't washing nobody's feet. I ain't washing your feet. I ain't washing his feet. I ain't washing my feet. I ain't washing feet. Man, these five guys, now two of them had to be volunteered. And these guys said, you know what? I'll wash feet. Guess what? God looks at that and he says, well done. Well done. Let's give our foot washers a hand. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Shade. Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Thank you, Tommy. You don't have to wash feet. You know what I want you to do, though? You sit here and let these people watch you, not knowing what we're going to do with you. You've preached them a sermon. I don't want you to come forward to say, I'll wash feet. I want you to go out that door and wash feet. Yeah, now I'm not. It may mean a basin and towel. It may mean that for you, but I'm not talking about literally. What I'm talking about washing the proverbial feet of society that doesn't care anything about you or your God or your church. Wash their feet anyway. And so the invitation this morning is not, hey, come forward and let's be foot washers. And man, that preacher got them down the aisle and they said they'd be foot washers. No, let's don't come forward. Let's go outward as our power comes from our God and wash feet. There is this invitation, though. Remember what Jesus said to Simon Peter? Simon Peter, I have already washed you. In other words, you're in the faith. So my question would be for those of you who are not here, who are not in the faith, those of you who are not here, I have another question later, we'll ask that, but for those of you who are not in the faith, are you washed? Are you clean in the sight of God? You say, I don't know what to do. You, by faith, put your faith in the Son of God, who by His cleansing blood can wash every stain away. You come today and allow Him to cleanse you and wash you. Bow with us and let's pray together. Thank you, guys. Blessed Father, it's always easier to preach about something like this than it is to do it. And You've put me in a position to preach about it today, so You'll put me in a position to live it out. Give me the grace of God to be like Jesus and to be a towel bearer in His name. Would you stand with this congregation?